Before we get to today's episode, I just wanted to remind everybody about the upcoming Phoenix Fan Fusion Convention, formerly Phoenix Comic Con. It runs 4 days from May 23rd through May 26th, and there are tons of great guests. Just listen to some of the names. Jeff Goldblum, one of my favorite actors of all time, The Fly, Thor Ragnarok, Jurassic Park. We also have Nicolaj Coster-Waldau from Game of Thrones, Ray Park, who played Darth Maul, Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Ranger, Robin Lord Taylor, who is the Penguin on Gotham. We have Adam Savage from Mythbusters, Paul Rubens, Mr. Pee-wee Herman himself, from the world of Star Trek, George Takei, Nichelle Nichols, Walter Koenig, and Garrett Wong. Frodo's going to be there, actor Elijah Wood, from the Harry Potter movies, Matthew Lewis, who played Neville Longbottom, Summer Glau from Firefly, and finally Billy Dee Williams, I'll mention, from Star Wars, has a big role in the upcoming Star Wars movie, Episode 9, that's out this Christmas. So again, tons of media guests available for autographs and photo opportunities, and I think it's a really great lineup they have this year. From the world of comics, they have some real legends there. Jerry Conway, Dennis Cowan, Roy Thomas, Kevin Eastman from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, super talented artist Michael Golden, Joe Staton, Neil Adams, Christopher Priest, a very prolific writer, is going to be there, Howard Chaykin, Denny O'Neill, who pretty much ran the Batman books from the late 80s all the way up through the 90s and into the 2000s, also legendary artist Kevin Nolan. There's also going to be creators like David Marquez, who most of you will remember from his work on Ultimate Spider-Man, Derek Robertson, who co-created The Boys with Garth Ennis. There's an upcoming Amazon show focused on that property. We have Greg Land, Ty Templeton, Tony Parker, Larry Stroman, along with tons of other artists and creators that are going to be there. So it's one of those shows that don't forget where their roots are from. There's tons of great comic creators, writers, and they have a great artist alley and a lot of local creators there as well. So I do recommend this show. It's one of those shows I think everybody should do. The tone and the feel of the show is unique. It's something all its own. Tons of cosplayers, a lot of Doctor Who, a lot of Star Wars. So whatever your particular fandom is, you'll probably find something of interest at Phoenix Fan Fusion. Tickets have been rolled back in terms of cost to the 2017 prices. It's only $85 for all 4 days. They raised them last year to cover a lot of the security that's in place. And I think all that's still going to be in place, but they listened to the fans and they heard that, yeah, the prices were a little bit too high. So they're certainly competitive when you compare them to the 4-day cost of a lot of other shows, or the per day cost, I should say. And there's tons of events, tons of stuff going on. They close the streets next to the convention center. There's food trucks out there, lots of covered seating where you can sit in the misters and eat some good food and just hang out and have a really great time. It's going to be fun. As I said, I do recommend everybody getting out to Phoenix Fan Fusion. I'll be there covering it for the Comic Source and LRM Online, and I hope to see you there. All right, everybody, welcome to another Webtoon Wednesday. I have a couple of creators on with me today to talk about their strip called Axed, which is a really funny, kind of sarcastic strip about a girl who wants to be a monster hunter, which I find to be a very, very admirable dream of hers in the world that she lives in. So it's my pleasure to welcome Emmy and Trent to the show. Welcome.
Hello. Hey. I'm Shren, by the way.
I'm Emmy. Hi.
Great. Thanks for taking the time to join me. I know that Webtoon schedule is pretty brutal. The deadline is always looming. So appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would rather do this than burn through more of the buffer that we have.
Well, I always like to ask people when they come on for the first time, kind of about their background with comics, their history with them, if they grew up reading them, that kind of thing, their secret origins, so to speak. So let's start with you, Emmy. Did you grow up reading comics? How did they become a part of your life?
Oh, yeah, I read like a bunch of comics. Like, I read a lot of manga as well. Mm. That was the thing. Because my oldest brother was super into Dragon Ball Z. So he'd had all the mangas, he'd have like the TV shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like being like the youngest, I always thought like my oldest brother was like the coolest person in the world. And I was like, oh, well, if he's into it, I gotta be into it too. He started making comics one day, and then I thought I should too, but they were terrible. Really terrible.
So at least you've improved somewhat.
Yeah, I did eventually.
So was it only manga, or were there Western characters that you got into as well eventually?
Oh yeah, eventually. I mean, I know like a lot of people have noticed that I definitely did get into Scott Pilgrim because you can definitely see some of the style in Angst.
Yeah, that makes I didn't realize it until you said it, and then like, oh yeah, of course, especially the eyes.
Yeah, a lot of fans have made that connection.
A lot of fans have said that, oh look, this looks exactly like Scott Pilgrim, or whatever that creator is.
Yeah, well, like, Axe looks like Ramona Flowers, which she does. She's got the short hair and the black eyes.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. What about you, Shren? What's your secret origin with comics?
Oh, my secret origin. Well, I didn't really read a lot of comics or like anything. I was more of a creator, so I made a lot of comics. And like when I was 10, I would always come up with these crazy ideas to write and put them in a comic form. And I remember one was called The Mystery of the Purple Lemon. And the mystery was that the purple lemon did not exist. But I would pass them around at school, and a lot of kids were like, wow, what a loser. And then they would read the comic and be like, you know what? Actually, that was pretty good. Can I read it again? So I sure showed them. Look where I am now.
That's
congratulations.
Awesome.
So thanks.
Is it safe to say that your next webtoon strip will be The Mystery of the Purple Lemon? Can we make that announcement here? That exclusive?
Yeah, all the fans are clamoring for a comeback of that story. I didn't know. Kind of left on a cliffhanger. So I kind of spoiled the entire story right here, but just pretend you didn't hear that. Yeah.
Well, that you have the opportunity now to create a different ending, and they'll be even more surprised when there really is a purple lemon.
Oh, wow. I don't think the readers are ready for that right now. one day they might be. We can only dream.
Now, let me ask you this, Emmy. Is this your first work, this act strip?
No, it's not. I mean, the first work was really ZomCom. That's the first proper comic that I made. Well, the first work.
That's like a wordless comic that she has. And it's kind of like more like a comic strip than it is like a full-fledged comic.
Yeah, well, like people really put their own kind of personalities in it. Like, I've noticed some people have been dubbing them, and I find it so weird to see like what the characters have been talking about. And it's so weird because like they've put the same personality, even though I didn't put any words down. But like everybody has the exact personality in that comic. It's weird.
Well, that means that you did your job right. If they were able to realize what the personalities of these characters were without any words, that's that looks good on you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I guess so.
And where is that strip still available? Is it on Webtoon as well or somewhere else?
Yeah, it's on Webtoon. It's in Discover.
Oh, awesome. And what about you, Shren? Have you had any previous work before Axed?
Not really. I kind of helped Emmy when I came up with some ideas for her for ZomCom, but so this is actually kind of like my first time like creating or writing at this level, because I kind of went to school for like software engineering and now I'm kind of just doing this. It's kind of weird.
This still have the day job, or is Axe paying the bills for you?
I'm just doing this full time now, because like I just graduated like a couple months ago. So like I just want to see where this goes, because it's kind of starting off right now, and you know, we got more and more things to do with it, so it's been fun.
Yeah,
but I mean, who knows?
Might as well strike while the iron is hot. What do you have about 42 episodes? Does that sound right? 41, 42?
We're going to have 52 in total.
Yeah, 52 in total.
We may do a second season. I'm not sure exactly where we're heading with that right now. We'll see.
Well, Shren, why don't you let our listeners know what the story is all about if they're not familiar with Axed?
Okay, so like it's pretty much what you said before. So we have a main character, Axelia. She's training to fight monsters because one of her friends was killed by a monster. But then suddenly a peace treaty happens between monsters and humans. So she has to get like a normal job. But her coworkers are monsters. Hilarity ensues. Ah. So every episode kind of starts with them getting a job from a giant blue Loch Ness monster, and it kind of ends with them getting fired. And so they kind of go from like job to job to find a job that they like, and they don't get fired from. That's kind of much like the basic of it, but there's still more underlying things.
Yeah, I know what the story's about. I think I've read about 18 of the episodes. I didn't get a chance to read them all, but completely humorous. I didn't want to stop reading. I was like at work today, my day job, and I was like, let me take a quick break and read some of these. And I'm like, I need to go back to work. Just one more. I really need to get
That's
back
good.
To work. But yeah, just even having read it, being familiar with it, enjoying the artwork and the sight gags and all of it, even knowing all that, I hear Shren describing it and I get a big smile on my face and start laughing all over again. Like, yeah, that sounds hilarious. And it is. It's absolutely hilarious. I think of the episodes I read, the one where everybody becomes an employment counselor. And so then because now unemployment's at zero. Okay, now we don't need unemployment counselors. You're all fired. That was my favorite. It's like, yes, that makes total logical sense. And it's hilarious. And it's like this totally cyclical. It would have been funny if you guys could have, like, you would literally could have done that same episode like three times in a row. That could have got you. You need to catch up, right?
Oh my God, that would have been amazing.
Right?
You should have been on the production team. They would have really liked that. I'm glad you found it logical, because like that's kind of like what we like to do. It's kind of like it's a bit random, but it's still
it makes sense.
No, yeah, everything makes sense in this world, totally.
Somewhat, yeah.
Now let me ask you about the collaborative process. So Shren, you're writing it. Emma, you're drawing it, but you must have some input into the story as well, right, Emmy?
Yeah, I do. Usually we both talk about like what we want to happen. Like together, and we'll most of the times we bounce ideas off each other as well for content of each episode.
So we kind of come up with like a premise together, and then Emmy comes up with some great jokes, and then I come up with a lot of jokes. They put all those jokes in like a giant line, and then kind of weave a story through that. That's kind of how we're doing it right now, and it's working out kind of well.
I'd say it's
working. But it's like a whole like pipeline that we have going on. Where like I write it and then I send it off to Emmy, and then we send it off to Bon, who does the backgrounds, and then it comes back to me. I do the lettering, then it gets reviewed, and then we do it all over again if it needs to be done all over again.
Now, have you gotten to the point yet where it's become difficult to come up with jokes, or you know, difficult to kind of keep the humor fresh, or is it still relatively new enough that you guys still have like initial ideas to draw from?
We have so many jokes. We cut out a lot of jokes because
yeah, it's pretty much the opposite. It's like we can't contain so many jokes in one episode. Otherwise it's just too overwhelming. Like we have too many ideas.
Like I want to preface this by saying like humor is kind of like a magic trick to us. Like I'll explain how we come up with the jokes and stuff, because it's kind of systematic, but it will ruin it like a slight bit. So pretty much comedy and acts is like stupidity that's unexpected, but should have been expected. And the freshness comes from the unexpectedness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, we pretty much come up with something stupid, like a man walking towards a banana peel. And then like, we know that it's expected he's going to slip on the banana peel, right? That's the stupidity part of it. And then the man walks over the banana peel. So you're like, oh, no, he wasn't going to slip on it at all. And that's kind of unexpected. But then suddenly his hat flies off his head and he goes back to reach for it. And it slips in the banana peel anyways, and that kind of like makes a full circle. Like it was expected, it should have been expected, but then it became unexpected, and then it actually happened. And then kind of like, you know, it works really well together. And in theory, it makes sense and why this can be funny, but when we actually write it, it usually isn't. And then we kind of like test it on a bunch of guinea pigs that we have, and to see what the reaction is. And depending on the reaction, we can like iterate over the joke. Like it's humorous but not funny. Then it's not stupid enough. If it saw it coming, it should have been more unexpected. If they didn't get it, then it was never expected in the first place. Something like that. So we have like a whole systematic way to create jokes, and we create so many that like a lot of them don't even make it into the script sometimes, and we get a little upset, but you know, that's what it is.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. You've almost come up with like a scientific formula to come up with jokes.
Yeah, I mean like this, we have a scientific formula for a lot of things, like even like the entire formula for acts. It's a little like formulaic, and like what we define as creativity is formulaic. Like, I'm, as I said, I have a software engineering background, so I like having everything, like, I need to know right. how everything works to do it. And I guess when I explain it, a little bit of the magic kind of goes away, but like, it's cool to understand how the magic works.
Yeah, giving us a peek behind the curtain, so to speak. But it'll be interesting. I'll reach out to you in about 3 years' time, and I'll be like, so is it still easy? You guys still have plenty of jokes? No, we're struggling. We can't think of anything. We run out of ideas.
There'll be plenty of jobs to make fun of.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's one legit job out there called chicken cannon shooter, where you just fire chickens out of a cannon. I don't know why that's a real job, but apparently it is.
Yeah, I think we have a list of like 25,000 jobs or something in like some file somewhere. And
yeah,
you can go on. We're still dreading the day where we're going to have to eventually make the Webtoons comic creator job episode.
Yeah, there's
too meta.
There's definitely a lot of jobs out there that I can't believe. Like, I recently discovered that apparently YouTube social influencer is a job. How is that a job? How are people
getting
paid for that? Tell me what kind of makeup to wear. Guess what? I don't wear makeup. So, but yeah, future idea for a strip there.
YouTube influencer? Oh, yeah. Actually, that's good. You know, thanks. I'm just going to write this down because we're running out of ideas. So.
Yeah, we were just lying before just to make
just to take it.
This is all a facade. We're really struggling really hard.
Now, let me ask you two this. Was it always a plan to create this strip on Webtoon with the Zomcom? You're obviously we're already familiar with the platform.
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Was it always your plan to have this strip on Webtoons, to have this be a Webtoon strip?
Oh, well, because it started off as a contest comic for Webtoons.
Oh yeah, so Webtoons had a contest to like see who can make the best story. We didn't win, but they were like, you know what, we're gonna give you a comic to put on our website anyway, so I can feature.
Yeah, they gave us what's the word? The honor thing?
All honorable mention. Yeah, they gave us an honorable mention.
And yeah, they gave us an honorable mention.
And like, I know we were thinking of ideas for the contest, and like, we had all sorts of dumb ideas, but this is the dumbest, so we just kind of went with it. And we're like, yeah.
Now, Emmy, as far as the visuals, do you feel like you're really taking advantage of kind of the format, the vertical scroll?
Oh, yeah. Like, with Zomcom, I didn't really do anything with that, but with Axe, because it's much more of an immersive story. So at first I didn't really get it, but thanks to our editors, Annie and HP, they kind of like taught us how to use that. And I really love doing stuff with like perspective and like making it scroll so it just looks so immersive. It's really cool. Yeah.
It's kind of like interactive too, because I know we have like was one long panel of a character like DB's. He's falling off a building. You kind of like scroll with him down, and kind of like your eyes kind of become like a movie camera following the action a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's also good for like telling complex stories because you kind of can go back and forth between it a lot easier. So we can't like keep up.
Yeah, even though it's not, and I've talked to a lot of creators on our Webtoon Wednesdays about this, even though it's not a motion comic, just the act of scrolling and having the motion of the panel, you know, sliding past you vertically, it kind of gives you some of the advantages of a motion comic. You get to play with things like reveals and, you know, like you said, you know, showing DB falling off a building. You know, you can do these long strips and kind of like fake motion in a way, you know, fake movement or show movement, even though it's a static image. And I think that's something that's really unique to Webtoon, and the best Webtoon strips really take advantage of that. And I definitely noticed that in Axe. So, how long does it take you to draw a strip, Emmy?
To draw a strip, well, to draw one episode, it takes about 2 days. But It used to take me about a week, but now that Bon helps with the backgrounds, it only takes me about 2 days, maybe 3 days.
I mean, but the whole process of creating the comic is like really long, because then the scripts usually come out like several months before, and then to actually try it and write this stuff and yada yada yada, it'll take like 3 weeks in total. But we're all working like kind of simultaneously in different chapters,
right?
So it all, that's how we make sure it comes out every week.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, that's one of the things about Webtoon, as great as it is, and one of the best things about it is the fact that it's free for readers. It's free content. And, you know, here at the Comic Source, we just want more people reading comics, whether that's print or digital or whatever, just more people reading. And the fact that there's all this content on Webtoon, all these different genres, you know, humor strips like Axe, which are great, and it's all free, but yet the creators, the model that Webtoon has created allows them to give this content away to the end user, to use an IT or software term, but yet the creators are being paid a competitive page rate with publishers like, you know, Marvel or DC. It's just an incredible platform, and it's so amazing that all these voices, all these stories are being told. So it seems like a really, not only a great platform, but a great community as well. Have you two had a chance to meet and connect with other creators, other Webtoon creators, whether that be in person or online?
I mean, I have. Like, I've had other Webtoon creators contact me, like just because they like the stuff, or because they want advice sometimes. And I know I've got a few that collaborated with.
First try.
I had a lot of artists that I collaborated with. And one of them was Colby, who did Exception, who's also featured, by the way. They were the first person who contacted me, and I thought it was amazing. Yeah. But now I'm in contact with a bunch of other people from not just Webtoon, just a lot of comic creators. And I never would have thought I'd get to like join the cool kids. Like, we come up with fun events and kind of talk to each other and like help each other grow as artists and stuff.
By the way, I wasn't invited, but
you're not a comic artist.
Cool. I think I'm important, but apparently not important enough to be an artist.
Well, how did your collaboration come about? How did you two start working together?
Oh man, that goes way back, like probably 5 years ago. Because we were like on some forum or something, and we just like started talking. And then remember, we made like some really dumb HTML5 games together that didn't really take off, and some Java game and stuff like that. So we're working on games a lot, and then we're like, let's work on this comic. And then
because is a programmer, and like I'm an artist, so I was like, oh, let's make games together, wouldn't that be fun? And then I remember I actually went to Toronto, and because he Shren is from there as well, and we thought, oh, let's meet up anyway, since I'm there anyway. And it was that day that we were together where I got a message from Webtoon saying, oh, there's a contest. And Shren was like, we should join that. And I was like, okay. And that's really all there was to that.
Wow.
I mean, we come up with a lot of ideas for the contest. There's like one about like this emotional story about like literally an egg in like feudal Japan or something. And
yeah,
I'm a little sad that we didn't do that story, but I'm glad that what we came up with actually has been working out for us.
Yeah, there was a lot of stories that didn't make the cut, sadly.
Oh, there was like a reverse Scooby-Doo where it's like the monsters uncovering humans or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that was your idea, strictly your idea.
Nah, you deserve some credit for that as well.
Now you going back to the visual style of the story, Emmy, you mentioned being influenced by Scott Pilgrim. Was there any other influences that you had when you were developing your style that you you want to kind of shout out? Anything that you yourself recognize in your style that influenced you?
Well, I'm not sure if it's in my style, because that would be a huge compliment if it was. But I really do love Jamie Hewlett, if you know them from Tank Girl or Gorillaz. Mm-hmm. And I also really like Matthew Cousin, who I think does the art for KO now.
Okay, KO.
Okay, KO.
And are you constantly, how do you work on getting better? Are you constantly feel like you're challenging yourself to try new things and push yourself to get better?
Oh, definitely. I think even Jamie Hewlett said it once in an interview, saying that artists will always try to be better than they were like yesterday.
Right.
And they'll never be completely satisfied of what their art level is. And I think that is really true. Because whatever I made last week, I'm like, oh, I can do better now. So I always want to do better. I always want to learn more, and I do. It's very slow, but you can notice it over a course of like a year.
Like, yeah, I mean, I notice it. You do some work, you're diversifying.
If you ever see like the old act, how he was on Discover, and compare it to like the new one that's on feature, you can definitely tell.
But that's only like a year apart, so.
Yeah, but the Discovered comics are taken down now.
Yeah. Mm. I know, like, I kind of force her to, like, do, like, pixel art sometimes for the games, so she does, like, try to do more diverse art styles.
Yeah. Yeah, get out of my comfort zone.
That's the word. Have you always worked digitally, or did you used to work traditionally and now digital? What's your process?
I used to work traditionally, but it's a weird thing. I don't like the feeling of paper. So I have no idea how I got into art in the first place, if I hated the feeling of paper. But I used to work traditionally. And then I was about 12 when I learned about tablets. And I was like, oh my God, that's the best idea in the world.
I don't have to feel the paper.
And yeah, I never really looked back ever since I got a tablet. But I kind of envy what people can do with traditional, especially with like watercolors and stuff.
Yeah,
I wish I could do watercolors. I really do.
That's so interesting to me. I know so many artists, most of them working in print, who the only reason they've gone traditional or digital rather is just because of speed and the ability to make corrections, especially if the editor comes back and says, no, we need to change the way, you know, this arm looks or this leg or the direction the head's looking or whatever it might be. It's so much easier to correct it digitally. But that's opposite of what you're saying. They're like, I love the feel of paper, ink on my fingers, pencil in my hand. So that's so interesting. Maybe it's a generational thing. I just don't like the feel of paper.
Yeah, probably.
Never heard that before. That's so funny. That's great. And next time I run into one of those creators, I'm going to mention that too. I'm like, you know, I know an artist that doesn't like the feel of paper, so stop complaining about having to work on a tablet. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Mark Brooks. He does a lot of covers for Marvel. But he's one of the old school guys that loves working traditionally. And Brad Walker's another one who loves working. And I think he does work strictly traditional. He just had his first issue of Detective Comics come out this last Wednesday. He's another one.
Oh, awesome.
Traditional. Oh, wow.
So,
I didn't know that was still going on.
Yeah, next time I see those guys, I'm going to be like, hey, guess what? So, Shren, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the story structure. You know, you mentioned that it's kind of like a little bit formulaic. You know, they get a job at the beginning, they screw it up or whatever happens, the job disappears, they get fired by the end of the strip, and then, you know, rinse and repeat. But there is a little bit of a common thread running through in terms of acts, you know, carrying this burden of her friend having been killed by a monster and her disliking monsters and having this dream to become a monster hunter. And so in that way, it's a little bit more of a long form story that's playing out. Are we going to see more of that at some point? Maybe some episodes that advance that overall plot thread at some point?
I mean, we've left like a lot of big threads open for like a story to like kind of latch onto later. Mm-hmm. We have some plans for that. I don't know if we'll get to that soon, but currently there's a one thread that's kind of going on. There's like this character that's kind of evil. His name's A-Job, and he's trying to get all the jobs in the world. And obviously, if he gets all the jobs in the world, the game can't get a job. So, and he kind of has this plan with like coconuts, and we can't really say what's exactly going to do with coconuts, and it may seem silly. But what we have planned, it's kind of like a brilliant, intricate way of using coconuts to actually get all the jobs in the world. And that's pretty much what we have planned for like a long form story for like the first season or so.
Got it.
But we have a lot of other things that we've actually written out, and it's somewhat concrete in the future about what's going to happen with the person that got eaten by the monster and another character that's another former monster slayer that Axe is going to go to her for advice. And they may be evil or they may not be evil. It'll be like a interesting dynamic that will happen eventually.
Cool. So I'm glad to hear that because I love the humor and I love how each episode is sort of self-contained. But I'm very curious about that aspect of Axe. You know, she's always carrying that around that, you know, she finally graduated and she was going to be able to be a monster hunter. And then, oh, guess what? They just signed a peace treaty, monsters and humans living together.
There is like a theme of kind of like finding her purpose and identity. And maybe finding it within her job, because she kind of lost that when she couldn't become a monster slayer anymore, because that's pretty much all she was training to be. That's all she thought about, right?
Yep.
And I think that kind of like mirrors something in real life that a lot of people do. It's like, I am my job. And it's kind of like a little bit of critique on that, but we don't really get too much into it.
Yeah, you've got to spend some time thinking about that to really... But that's the part of the fun, you know? You can... It's like so many different sequential art stories. You kind of get out of it what you put into it. So if you want to, you know, dig down and get into that aspect of it, it's there. But if you just want to read it for the humor and enjoy it as kind of an escape, you know, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah, that's exactly what our editor said. They're like, it's something that you can get into from any point in the story. But if you start from the beginning and you're actually kept up with it, you'll be rewarded more.
Right.
Exactly. So you can do either or, because I know a lot of people do not have time to read like an entire comic thing. And they would just rather just have like a little bite-sized nugget, like a snack of a comic. And I think we're kind of trying to satisfy that.
Well, I'm telling you, listeners, get in on Axe now because, you know, only about 50 episodes out there. It's easy to get caught up. Some of the webtoon creators we've had on there in like season 2, you know, and they have like a combined 350 episodes. I mean, that's a real time investment to go and get caught up. And not to say that they shouldn't or that they're not going to, but, you know, now's the time to get in on Axe when it's still kind of fresh and won't take you but maybe a weekend to get caught up.
Actually, we don't have that many. That's how much we have planned. I think we only have like a few out right now. It's very few. But by the time this airs, we'll probably be a lot more.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you guys were up in the 40s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like some episodes are kind of longer. It may seem like that. But it's still very, very new. But you'll see where this goes.
Well, that makes me...
It'll be fun.
That makes me feel even better. That means I'm probably almost read them all at this point. But then at the same time... I say that once I get caught up, then I'm going to be in the same boat with everybody else having to wait weekly as opposed to binging.
Oh, yeah. We really do not like waiting each week, too, considering like we're so excited for people to see the newer ones because we always think the newer ones are so good compared to the last ones. We're like,
yeah.
What do people see in those ones from before? These ones are so amazing.
Yeah, that's true, as long as you keep improving. Yeah, I just looked it up right now, you guys. It looks like you have 12... 12 episodes up. So
yeah,
listeners, you can get caught up quickly and make sure you leave comments in the episode so that Shren and Emmy know how you felt about the strip. Was that something that happened right from the beginning? Do you have a pretty good following as far as the fan community right from the start?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, a lot of them came from ZomCom as well, because we kind of advertised on ZomCom, so we kind of easily got like 50,000 subscribers, and then we got a lot of comments, and it was pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Like, I know a lot of like people from ZomCom came over, and that was really nice, especially because they came for the monsters, stay for the monsters.
So we talked about the fan community, which is really awesome. We talked about the creative community. What advice would you have for aspiring creators that are looking to break in, whether that be trying to get on the feature side or starting up something on the Discover? Like, any lessons that you learned that you would pass along the knowledge of?
Well, I would say, like, practice makes perfect doesn't sound like, you know, like a big thing that people like actually like take to heart, but it makes a lot of sense. It's so important because like we both kind of sucked, but then we kind of like worked and we got a lot of advice and so much feedback. We got a lot of positive feedback, and more importantly, we got a lot of negative feedback, and that really helped us improve. And like when we make an episode, it's never great when we start making it. It kind of sucks, and then we iterate over it and like reiterate over it. And eventually it goes from terrible to something that we're like kind of proud of. And I think that's kind of what it's all about. Like, you may suck right now, but just keep, if you work on it enough, eventually, no matter what happens, no matter how much bad luck you have, you will get better and you will get good.
Yeah. It's all about perseverance. And that's what the comic's all about. Like, angst. You just got to keep going for it. As long as you don't take too many negative comments to heart, because it will hurt if you take it too hard, but you don't know like what happens if you keep going on. You could be famous. You can get whatever you want. Like, you just gotta keep doing what you love, right? Like, if you find it fun, I'm sure other people will find it fun, and more people will notice you.
Yeah, I think that's.
And don't eat yellow snow.
Well, I think that's good. That last comment, especially great advice. But I think it shows when. You're passionate about something, the work is better. When you're having fun making the strip is better. And yeah, you have to keep going. You can't give up if it's something that you're passionate about and something you love. And there's that whole idea of do the thing you want to do. Like, you know, be the thing you want to be, even if you're not good at it, but just start doing it. And you'll get better. So if you say, I'm a comic book writer, I want to be a comic book writer, then don't wait for some opportunity to fall in your lap, because trust me, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you just said go out and get it.
Exactly.
I really like your comment about like being really ambitious, because like when I'm so into a story, it takes me like not even an hour to write a full script. And it's so easy when you're actually so into it and you're so like, you know what I mean? Right? Like,
you're having fun.
Yeah, you're having fun. It doesn't feel like work because you're just breezing through it because you're so like passionate about it. You love it so much.
Yeah, so that's the advice, listeners. You want to be a comic book writer, then start writing comics, even if it's just a strip on that you put up on your own little website, or go to Webtoon and, you know, put something on the Discover side. I did want to ask you one other thing, though. Shren, you mentioned starting out and asking for advice. Where are some of the places that you went to get advice from people that you felt were further along in the process than you were?
Well, to be honest, I got a lot of advice from our editors. But I do get a lot of advice from, like, you know, just like family and friends, and they kind of like tell me like, oh, maybe we should do this, maybe we should try this, and I try it out. Maybe it's good advice, maybe it's bad advice. I don't really know. I just try it and see if it works. And I mean, everyone is out there to give you their opinion. Like, I feel like the internet culture has kind of breeded this thing where people always have the feel to give their opinion on anything. So it's so easy to get people's opinions. And that is so valuable, because people's opinions, even though if they're like bad or good, they always have some sort of value to them and something you can take out of that.
So basically what you're saying is you kind of use the resources you have, friends, family, whoever, because at the end of the day, these are stories that are going to be out in the eyes of people. People are going to be checking them out. So we all know people. Just ask the people that know, right?
I mean, you're on the internet that's full of people. It has millions of people in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shy to, like, contact people who you wouldn't think would ever reply to you. Because I've done that. When I just started out, I contacted people who were, like, really big and well-known in the comic community. And, like, a lot of them replied and helped me. And I never thought they would, like, you know, reply to someone like who's a nobody. But they did, because they are so happy to help. Like, any comic artist would be so happy to help anyone who's trying to do something creative. So yeah, I wouldn't be shy.
This was like when she had very, very little following as well. It was like
maybe I only had like 1,000 maybe followers.
Yeah, it's one of
maybe 700 between that. It was hardly anybody was really watching me.
Yeah, it's one of the great things about the comic industry in general, how it's not people, they're not cutthroat, you know, it's not a competition. What we really want all the stories to succeed and all the stories and all the ideas to be published and to be out there to be read. It's not a matter of I've got to get my story out there to the detriment of yours. It's just not like that. Everybody pulls for everybody. It's such a great thing to be a part of.
That's so sweet.
Well, as I said in the beginning, I know the deadline always looms, so I want to thank you two for taking the time to join us. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners, and also maybe give them an idea of where they can follow you on social media to keep up with your work? We'll start with you, Shren.
I don't know to say, but I guess you can follow me on Twitter. It's just Shren_P. I just talk about Axed a lot, and we have some big things in the works for it. Can't really say what it is, but if you follow me, you'll be up to date.
How about you, Emmy?
You can follow me on Facebook, where you know what? This is embarrassing because I forgot my Facebook.
I think it's Emilio Illustrations.
It could be Amelia or it could be Emmy. I'm just going to check real quick.
It's Amelia, trust me, I know.
It's Amelia. You can follow me on Facebook for Amelia Illustrations, or you can follow me on Instagram, which is Dorkidia. I realize that they're both very different, but trust me, they're both me.
Well, great. I'll put links to the social media for both Emmy and Shren in the show notes, so you can go click there and you'll be able to find their social media. So again, I want to thank you two for taking the time to join me. I love the strip. It's hilarious, and I can't wait for more and to see what some of these big plans that Shren is teasing, to see how they all come to fruition. So good luck with the strip.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks.
Best of luck, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.